Morning, Michael.
Good morning, then.
So today I'm talking to Michael Lonergan. You have founded the Jack Lonergan Foundation.
That's right, yes.
It's in memory of your son Jack, who very sadly died at the age of 28 from sudden arrhythmic death syndrome. Tell me a little bit about how you went about setting up the foundation.
It wasn't something that happened immediately. I don't think you need to be a parent to understand the devastation that causes. But there was a realization afterwards that, Jack lived his life, for his music and his football, the two big passions in his life. So he thought really was that let's do something which carries on the good work that he had started. And he loved working with the children. He really did enjoy that. And of course, he was a teacher. It's challenging. And the particular schools, the particular environment he chose meant that the children, the ages they were at, they were not going to be straightforward. But as much of a challenge, it was an enjoyment for him. He could see that opportunity wasn't always there for some of those children, and something that he reflected on quite a lot. So it was quite easy then to not necessarily set up the charity, but to know what the focus is, know what the objectives were, and we do have a really straightforward objective. It's just to create opportunity for children in music.
Yeah.
That's it.
Was Jack always very musical himself?
He was very musical once he decided that, one day he came home and said, "I want to learn guitar." Being supportive, he got his guitar and he was booked into lessons, but the guitar was never ever very far from him. But then again, a key point there really is that he had that opportunity, and the charity kind of seeks people who perhaps the family support isn't as it was for Jack, or maybe the support is there, but the household income doesn't support, a lesson and an expensive instrument. So that's what we want to do. We want to bridge that gap. But once Jack had picked up that guitar, yeah, absolutely. And then any instrument was there to play.
You have a mantra for the foundation. Music is for life. Music is for everyone.
I'm not sure. Listen, I can't remember what I had for dinner last night. So remembering who came up with that and who's, I'll take the glory for it. I'll say it is. But yeah, absolutely. It's a really simple mantra. That's it. Jack loved life. He loved his music. Everybody enjoys music to a greater or lesser extent. Look at, travel on the tube and you see there aren't many people without earphones, right? People enjoy music. It's they have their song, don't they? That is a go-to for happy times and for sad times.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now you've linked up with the Merton Music Foundation. Is this a recent link up?
Yeah, it's been going maybe now for 6 or 7 months, and they're great. They were the first people that we went to. Jack being a true Wimbledonian, that was the obvious point of contact for us as a new charity, was to go somewhere that was already really well established. So, Merton look after music tuition across the schools in Merton. They do private lessons as well. A little known fact about them is they've got this really fantastic site at the Sherwood School in Mitcham, a little annex building. Great learning environment. And so we've supported four classes there for, well, we've made a 2-year commitment to them. And that ranges from the youngsters playing ukulele through to an advanced music tech, which we were never going to be doing an advanced music tech. That wasn't part of the blueprint. But the music technology course was so popular that it was clear straight away there were some different levels of ability. And it was nice that we could make that a progression step. Then you start at music tech and you progress onto advanced music tech. So yeah, it's going really well.
So you do, they do turntablism lessons. Tell me about those.
Yeah, I don't think I'm the right person to be asking about those lessons. It's really cool environment. Like I said, it's a room with lots of computer screens, lots of buttons that light up when you push them, and these mobile turntables. Well, I think we probably all fancy ourselves as a bit of a DJ and being able to scratch and mix. Believe me, these children very quickly pick it up and develop this skill. It's an area of music which is away from the traditional guitar, ukulele, clarinet, cello.
Yeah.
And perhaps is more engaging, that type of music, than others for the children that we're trying to attract.
Yeah. I think that type of music you're talking about, the actual music tech, is probably far more engaging for children, because they're now finding out when they're listening to the radio where the roots of that music comes from. And they're also listening to a personality on the radio, which happens to be the DJ at the time. I mean, I work at Radio Jackie, and my studio in the news studio is opposite the DJ studio. So there's a glass panel between us. Long gone are the days when the DJ's running around grabbing vinyl and sticking on the turntable. But as you say, there's lots of faders, there's lots of buttons, there's lots of cuts. And the art of being a DJ is expressing their personality. Every DJ has their own personality, which they bring to their show. And the ability to bring in general chit chat and then align it with music is a great way of expressing yourself. So the kids are really taking to this. You've got a lot of budding DJs on your hands.
Absolutely. And it soon becomes their piece of work. An established piece of music is theirs that they've changed, adapted and mixed in a different way. So it's, I guess, they get a quick fix from it, really, to say, right, okay, that's the snippet of the song that I've developed. That is now my piece. It's really great to see. They are so engaged in that, the eyes don't come off the screen and the turntables.
Yeah. And do they actually get a chance to create that, like, their own program for 10 to 15 minutes, their own program that they can
make,
yeah, that would actually go on air one day?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and that's based on the level of confidence that they have, level of ability. But the whole idea of having this advanced lesson as well, the advanced classes, they can progress. They can see a pathway to becoming better. And yeah, it's really great to see.
Absolutely. And do you think they'll actually go on to become DJs, some of them? Are some of them showing a sign that, you know, that's a natural talent that they have?
I think they would all like to. Of course, looking at the charity, there isn't an objective actually to create the next, you know, sell out Wembley artist or to find a career path for the children. Absolutely is about engaging with something, about giving them an opportunity, about learning a life skill, which will never go away. And Jack could easily disappear for a couple of hours into just strumming on the guitar and just, you know, have the most amazing time. But if that's all that they get out of these is a lifelong love for doing something, then perfect. That'd be great.
So let's go on. How do you fund both the foundation and the Merton Music Foundation?
So we're funded purely by friends and family and a large social network of people jumping out of planes and running marathons and, you know, all of those sort of things, which has been great. You know, people have really stepped up and actually from the least likely places as well. You know, I've been surprised by that, but yeah, completely self-funded by volunteers, by kind donations. And, you know, we've got a few projects in the pipeline for raising some extra funds. Every penny that is raised goes towards the classes. You know, we are a small charity. We don't have premises and overheads and staff wages or anything at all like that. So, you know, if someone gives a pound is used. And that's kind of really important to understand. And Merton Music themselves are a charity. They don't get any government funding. They have to apply for grants. They do their own private lessons, of course, across the borough and surrounding boroughs. So, yeah, it's a it, it's been quite enlightening, really, understanding, you know, how charity sector works, how it works well and how it doesn't work well. And the support network has been, it's been fantastic through Merton Music, through Crown Lane Studio. There's been so many people that have supported.
And where else do you think you might derive some help from? Do you actually apply to any radio stations like ourselves to say, can you help? Can you give some of these kids a bit of studio time? Could we help in that sort of way?
Yeah, so, you know, interesting that you say that. That's on the radar as well for some support there. I mentioned earlier Jack's second love was football, was a Wimbledon supporter. And so some of the children that are doing one of the projects at Crown Lane Studio in Morden, they will progress and shadow the PA announcer, the DJ at the football ground, excuse me, for a couple of times next season. So, you know, we're trying to find ways for, yeah, I know I've used the word progression a few times, but that's really important, you know, from first picking up a musical instrument to either finding that it's just a pastime that you enjoy, or whether it's something you want to take on to further education, to a work environment. You know, we want to be able to keep providing those opportunities for those that show the most willingness, ability and lack of support probably as well.
I think what you say about music is lovely, because I think everybody, I haven't ever met anybody who doesn't like music in some form. And as you see, music has actually changed. When it started in the 60s with the bands like the Stones and the Yardbirds, it was very much on stage stuff, lots of energy. Now there's a lot of music being derived from lots of different people, amalgamating it from studio to studio and creating it electronically. But you've still got those eight notes in an octave. And those eight notes provide such an amazing diversity of sound, which always actually fills me with wonder. And it just, there are certain tunes that just, as you say, they bring goosebumps. They do for me when I'm working, you know, in the Radio Jackie studio and you're listening to music. We're all sort of jigging around to whatever's being played at the time. And there's a sort of energy in the atmosphere. So when you work in the music industry, I think it is exciting and it's joyful. And if, you know, you have issues, you know, mental health issues or issues of sadness in your life, it's music that can bring you out of those, isn't it?
It absolutely is. You know, I said earlier, it has those go-to songs. I don't consider myself, you know, to be particularly musically talented. I think it skipped a generation for Jack. But absolutely, in times of sadness and reflection and happiness as well, it's the music which, you know, which can change a mood.
Yeah, I'm sure there would have been a time. Yeah, I'm sure there would have been a time when he had his on his guitar and got you all to have a good family sing song, though, wasn't
it? I remember very soon after him picking up the guitar for the first time, and the confidence of a young teenager. Come on, Dad, tell me a song that you want me to play for you. And I remember it was That's Entertainment, and the response was typically, Jack, oh, give me something difficult, you know. but it was great. Yeah, a lot of time was spent in the bedroom playing guitar. You know, one guitar soon became four or five guitars of different styles and abilities. So yeah.
Yeah, you should have asked him to play Bohemian Rhapsody. That would have given him something to work on, wouldn't it?
Yeah, the benefit of hindsight, yeah.
So, Radio Jackie listeners will be listening to this interview. What can you say to them about how they can help the charity, how they can add money to the fundraising, what they can do?
Yeah, we're really easy to find on social media and on the internet. It is the Jack Lonergan Foundation. Just engage with us on social media as a starting point. See what work that we're doing. If there's a resonance there that people want to take part, perhaps raise money, get involved. And I think sometimes, you know, charities are guilty of always holding out the, you know, the begging bowl, really. There are lots of life skills that people have, which I'm sure could help the charity, you know, administrative, accounting, you know, if somebody has some life skills and some time on their hands and they think they can support, that would be really nice to hear rather than just 10 quid dropping into the bank account.
That's a lovely message, and we'll make sure we get that one across. Well, unless there's anything you want to add, thank you very much for talking to me. And it's been lovely talking to you, Michael. And good
Thank
luck.
You very much.
Thank you very much, and have a lovely day.